Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Fantastic church news. The one that was showing the truth that has been written by Pastor Colin. That's our Pastor Paul, for those that are new with us this morning. And we do miss him. Actually, he should have been down in Horsham anyway this weekend with his wife Kate. They're meant to have gone to a wedding. Kate's gone on, went down on her own, and she's due back tomorrow. But praise God. Well, God has been really busy, isn't he, with us over the last, well, since I've been here, I think. Well, I don't think my feet have really touched the floor since I've been here, but I wouldn't change it for the world. And Dr. James, who you saw there, had a great conference recently, and many things have been said about Scarborough. He's a great prophet, prophet of God, and he came and he spoke many things into being, and we're standing on the truths of those prophecies that he spoke over us. And if you want to hear some more about that, about the gates and about the keys to the gate, then come back next week, and I'm sure Pastor Paul will be continuing on that vein of the gates, really, that the gates that we're, that the church really in Scarborough is, has got the keys for. I'm going to see heaven released in this area, heaven on earth. Praise God. I don't know if you remember what I spoke on last time I was standing here. Anyone remember? Oh, praise God. The road to Emmaus. You know, sometimes we think we're on a road to nowhere, really. You know, often or not, we, in our life situation, we think that the road that we're on leads to nowhere. But I'll tell you this morning, there is no road to nowhere. You're on a road to somewhere. And the road to somewhere is either on the rocky road to, unfortunately, destruction, or if you're born again and believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on that road that the Lord has placed you on, at least to eternity in heaven. But we all live to eternity, whether we're going to be in hell or heaven. And three comments I made last time was revelation, recognition, and response. And as we looked at the story about the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were blinded when Jesus drew alongside of them. And it wasn't until they had the scriptures read to them, that Jesus opened up the word to them, that they recognized who he was. And their response was, instead of being on that road to Emmaus, they ran back to where they should be, and that was with the church in Jerusalem. And the road to nowhere, if you split that up, it says, now here. You're not on the road to nowhere, you're now here. And there's a lot of us that have come here to Scarborough recently, and there's many that have come previously to over the years. And we're here for a purpose. You know, we're not on the road to nowhere. We're now here, and we're on the road to somewhere, and that's to heaven, and that's to eternity, and that's to see God do his to do his plans and purposes in this town, and not just in this town, but in the whole of Yorkshire and beyond. And this morning, I was deliberating for ages, really, of what God was wanting me to talk about, and some of the songs that we've been singing are quite prevalent to what God has shown me about 6:15 this morning. And it was great to have that clarity this morning, even at such a, I'd call it a late hour for me, you know, to get something from the Lord. And but it's really great. And the word he gave me was testimony. And if we have a look in Revelation chapter 12, and it talks about the war that had been going on in the heavenlies between Michael and his angels had fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. And it's in verse 7. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him. You know, we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You know, there's no testimony without the blood of the Lamb. Amen. There's no testimony without the blood of the Lamb. And it's great, you know, as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we need to speak it out. We have to declare it. It's not just to one another, but it's also a spiritual battle that's going on. But the devil gets really riled because he's lost another one to the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of darkness. And yet we're having a party because there's more joining the kingdom of light and more coming out of the kingdom of darkness. And so this morning, it's I want to look at a testimony really out of the Bible. He's a great banker. He's a banker for the Queen. And we're going to look at his testimony. So I just want to look into the Bible, and we'll look at this banker, this queen, and look at his testimony. And before I go there, you know, when we're talking about the road to Emmaus and coming back and being part of the church, and we're now on this road to somewhere, you know, and for us, it's like we all have a testimony. And it's often or not that God will draw us alongside somebody that's not yet a Christian, but has had similar problems to what we've had, to the life that we've come up with. And because we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, so we're now a new creation in Him, we're able to come alongside these people, and we're able to understand where they're coming from. And because we've been through this sort of lifestyle that this person may have been through, as you speak, The word is, there is power in the word, and there's life in the word, the Bible says. And as we speak that out, and they understand from the place that you've come from, they can, you know, they'll get that revelation then, and they'll be able to recognize that Jesus Christ and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. And that's where we are today, really. God calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. And, it's a real privilege. I find it a great joy. Find even more so today that we've got an open heaven of people wanting to talk about Jesus, or they're looking for something spiritual, you know. And it's so easy now that where in the past, or maybe in a generation gone by, the doors used to be so tight if you mentioned the word of Jesus or God or church or something like that. But now people are starting to get an interest. God is making a way for us. And we need to take that by the horns, you know, and just run with it and see people come into the kingdom. The word testimony, my Vine's expository dictionary that I was so blessed, given to me, I looked at the word testimony, and there's two words that come under testimony. One is maturion, which is mainly subjective, and that's having to do with the preacher or the person, their own experience. So it's your experience, you know, the word maturion. It's subjective, your testimony. It's your testimony. It's something that you can relate to that God has done in your life, and you can relate that, how you have changed. And the other word in there is kerugma, K-E-R-U-G-M-A. And that's about the thing preached. The message is objective. And so it's having especially to do with the effect on the hearers. So there's a two, there's subjective and objective. It's affecting you, but it also affects the person you're speaking to. It's the hearers that take hold of what you're saying about your testimony, or about the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we read in there Revelation 12:11, it's talking about they overcame Him. We're overcomers of the enemy because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony. And in Revelation 1, it talks about a little bit there about the blood. We've been set free. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to look at this a little bit more in a minute. It says in Revelation 1, it says, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." And has freed us from our sins by His blood. We can't be set free any other way except by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's because of God's love. He said He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever, if you put in your name there, whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And
it's a life worth living. We've heard from Nabil today that he wouldn't change it for the world. You know, he's just set and wanting to please God. And the guy I want to look at, it's in Acts. If you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 6. And first of all, I want to look at the guy who was giving the testimony, if you like. He had a testimony of his own, in a way. In chapter 6, it's looking at the disciples, what had happened that day after day. We'll read from chapter 5 in verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. This was the disciples. And in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the Word." And this proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose the 7 people: Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert of Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You know, that's a great honor to be selected to just to serve the tables. You know, 7 they wanted. And Jesus often came, he says, "I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve." And a servant heart is so important for us today that we go out, and it's not just about those that are in the places of ministerial positions that God needs, but it's the whole body, and that we're all important. And it's brilliant that just to be able to serve, you know, there's a great honor in serving people. And here was these 7 that they were going to serve the people of the food. But there were spiritual men and women. There were already spiritual men and women. And if we look at Acts chapter 8, going down to verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there." Now this is after being serving for quite a few years, serving food, that God decided then to move him on a bit. And how do you know that God always moves us on to places where he wants us to be? "And he saw the miraculous signs." The crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did. They all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And it's great that Philip was one of the 7 in the Jerusalem church, who now becomes an evangelist proclaiming the Christ. But Philip is an example of one of those who was scattered. What happened was because of the Christianity was getting quite a reputation then, that people were scattered then to all different regions. And Philip's life continues, that he actually got moved on. And if you turn over to verse 26 of chapter 8, you see there how an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." He was heading to the coast for his holiday. Gaza's on the west coast there, you know, and it's like us, you know, we come to Scarborough, some to live and some for the holidays. And so he's going south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way. And this wasn't a small journey. It wasn't sort of like a few miles to Bridlington or to Filey. This was 50 miles, this was. So he had quite a journey on his hands. So as he was heading down the road, he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. It's great, isn't it? You know, not even the bankers are safe today. Let's see more Christian bankers in our society. let's see the Chancellor and the Prime Minister. You know, let's have a Christian government in place. Hallelujah. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So the Ethiopian had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. I just hope it was a slow chariot, because I thought I'll be probably out of breath, you know, so he'll be jogging along next to this chariot, you know. And he's, how are you doing, you know? And he's listening in as well to what this guy's saying, you know. And he's got to keep up with this chariot, you know. And he's, and this guy's reading out of Isaiah. On the, and Philip's giving out, this is a great day, you know. I'm going to be walking to Gaza, you know, 50 miles, and now the Lord's got me running next to this chariot. And he said, oh. And eventually, the eunuch says, well, why don't you come up here? He says, I'm a bit confused over these scriptures. Oh, thank goodness for that. So by now, he's a bit out of breath, you know. So he got up and he sat on this chariot with this eunuch. And the eunuch was a bit confused. You know how the disciples were confused when they're walking on that road to Emmaus until Jesus opened up the scriptures, until they got the revelation. They didn't recognize what they were doing. And so what did Philip do? Well, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Well, he's done that, praise the Lord. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And so the eunuch, he turns around and he asks Philip, he says, well, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus, the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. I mean, God doesn't waste time, you know, when people get converted. And they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So he's not just told them about the good news of Jesus Christ, about what he needs to do to become saved. He's also told them about being baptized. Believe and be baptized. And so this eunuch is saying, look, why shouldn't I be baptized? There's some water here. So they stopped the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Praise God. I'll tell you, I'm looking for the day when God just takes me away and I find him in Whitby. And I'll come home from a tea. Is that all right, Shona? That's awesome, isn't it? Philip was just taken away. He didn't have to run back to Jerusalem or carry on to Gaza. The Lord just took him away. Hello? Wow. Blows my socks off, I tell you. The Lord took him away, right? And where did he end up? He ended up 20 miles up the road. Okay, in this other town. So when they came up, Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Praise God. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And then if you go to 21 and verse 8, he's still there 25 years later. Praise God, if I'm still here in 25 years' time, hallelujah. If we go to Acts there, 21 and verse 8. It says here, this is about onto Jerusalem. This is about Paul heading on his journey, and he says, we continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Salamis, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Hallelujah. Praise God, eh? And he'd been there for 25 years. Yeah? Well, sometimes we get itchy feet after 5 minutes in a place, don't we? But God's saying he wants people that are going to be stable and steady, you know. And here was Philip, you know, his heart was just after the Lord. He's one that was serving tables for many years, serving the food. And then God moved him on just to go and become an evangelist. And he was steadfast in what he did, 25 years. And I think it's fantastic that as we look at this story about this eunuch, Philip was able to draw alongside him and was able to open the scriptures so that he understood about who he was reading about Jesus. And for us today, you know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, that they might not be interested in Jesus. But it's finding their identity in who they are. It's someone, it's not just a God that made the heavens and the earth, but he's our Father in heaven. He's a creative God. And for every person that is created, that is born, it says in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And it continues, you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. This is how much the Lord knows each and every one of us. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He created you. He knitted you together whilst you're in your mother's womb. Your identity is not your name. It's not the job that you're in. That's not my identity is not Brian Ward. That's the name I've been given so people can recognize me. There's hundreds of Brian Wards probably in the world. But there's none like me that has been created and knitted together in the innermost parts of what God has done in my heart. My identity is not my job as an engineer down at Scarborough Power. Because if I move jobs, then my identity's gone. If that was my identity. Yeah? So it's not in your job or what you do. That's not your identity. It's not your name. But it's in Christ Jesus. It's in God. It's in God. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The devil comes to try to kill and steal and destroy. He tries to steal your identity away from you by saying, well, you're just so-and-so that lives in such an area. You might live in a deprived area and you're put into a cardboard box. That is not your identity. Don't put up with that. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. He's the one that has knit you together. He's the one that's made you wonderfully. And yet we can so often be misshapen. Identity can be misshapen because of who we try to hang about with. You try to hang about with the gangs, but you feel you don't fit in because that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. You know, there once was an ugly duckling. You know? And this ugly duckling tried to fit in with the other ducks. He did, didn't he? He tried to fit in with the group of ducks that was there. And he found he had problems, you know. Because he found out he's a swan. Yeah? Sometimes you don't fit into the groups you like to fit into. Sometimes it's peer pressure. Sometimes it's the things at school. Sometimes it's where we live. People try to put us in a cardboard box saying, that's your identity. No, it's not. My identity is in Christ Jesus because he's the one that knits me together. He's the one that made me. He's the one that says I'm wonderfully and beautifully made. And that's where I belong to. That's where my identity is. And that's where every single one of you here today that's had times where people have said you're no good, you're rubbish, you're this or you're that. That is not your identity. Nabil's identity is not from where he comes from. Or where he lives, he found his identity in Christ Jesus. And if we don't find that identity, we can just go on and on and on. And it doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are, our identity is still in Christ Jesus. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He's got a plan for each and every one of us today that are sitting here. He's written it already in his book. And he says, this is where I want you to be. It's like Philip, he was serving on the tables, but then he was moved on to go and become an evangelist. And he stayed there for 25 years. You know, it's not the alcohol or the drugs that's our identity. It's not the abuse, whether it's sexual or physical or mental, is our identity. Christ has formed each and every one of us. That he loves us so much. And he says, you're my child. And maybe today we haven't realized that what we need to do is ask Jesus into our hearts. We've got to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not something or as something of religion. It's something of fact. It's something of history. It's something that was and is to come. It's Jesus that was alive, died, and rose again, and is alive today. It is someone that says, I have created your very innermost being and knitted you together, and I love you so much. Why don't you just come and ask me into your life today? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. It's repentance, is turning around about the way that we've been walking on that road to nowhere, that we want to walk on that road to somewhere, and that's on the way to heaven. And it's saying, Lord, let me just turn around today. Father, let me, from my heart's desire, I want to turn around today. I want to say, I want to follow you. I want you in my life today. Because you're the one that has wonderfully created me. You're the one who has written down a plan for my life. That I don't belong in this box that I've been placed in. That I'm not this person that you say I am, that people say I am, but what you say I am. That you have seated me in the heavenly places. That I am a co-heir with Christ Jesus. That I am holy because you have made me holy. That you have placed me upon the rock of my salvation of Jesus Christ. That the devil has got no power over me. Because by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, we're able to move on from the things of the enemy. It says, we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it's because of the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross, by going to that cross in obedience to his Father, that he wanted to obey our Heavenly Father, that he went to that cross at Calvary. And he laid down his own life for our sins. And that's why that today, that as that soldier put that spear through his side, as Jesus gave himself up to the authorities and they beat him and they plucked out the hairs that were upon his face, a man that had done no wrong, a man that was the Son of God and that there was no sin in him. And yet we as a people were wanting to pull out the hairs upon his face, that we were beating him with our fists, that we were saying, crucify him, crucify him. He knew his destiny. Jesus knew his destiny. But the Roman soldiers took that scourge, a whip of many, many tails, leather tails, and within those tails were bits of bone, animal bone, sharp bits of bone. And as they slashed him, as they whipped him, his flesh just disappeared. That he was unrecognizable. Not just once or twice or three times, but 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. And his cry on the cross before he gave up his spirit to the Father was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says to us all this morning, I forgive you for whatever you have done. I have forgiven you for whatever you have done. As we confess our sin before him this morning, If you haven't already done so and you don't know Jesus this morning, just confess our sin before Him. Say, Father, forgive me for the things I've done wrong this morning. But I recognize that You are the Son of God. I recognize that You have died for my sins. I recognize that You are now alive again and seated in the heavenly places. And that's where I would like to be with You today. He has placed us with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. You know, we have become a new creation. He changes the old heart for a new heart. Is it your desire today that you realize that you've been put into a box? That your identity isn't really what people have been saying, but really today you've learned out your true identity is out with Jesus Christ. Is with our Heavenly Father in heaven, the one who created us. Elka, I'm just going to ask you to come up, if you could please. Is she here, Elka? Is she through there, is she? I just sense there needs to be a response this morning, really. I can't let anyone go, really, because I don't think it'd be right for me to say, right, that's the end. But I believe God wants to maybe touch people's hearts this morning. I think people need to come and meet with Him this morning and say, well, I've never really asked Jesus into my life. And maybe that's what you want to do today. Maybe you found yourself in a place where you haven't realized what your identity is. Yet today God is showing you that He has knitted you and carefully made you and that you belong to Him. You know, our walk as Christians isn't always an easy walk. We're still human. We're still in the world. But what it does give us, it gives us a hope. It gives us, yes, I am free indeed. It says, yes, I've laid everything behind me and I want to go forward now for Jesus Christ. I've turned my back on the things of the old and I'm now on the road of the new. And as we go along that road, there are sometimes the little things try to come in to trip us up. Roads aren't always smooth. There's a pothole sometimes that we fall over in. But Jesus is there and He says, here, I'll help you back up. And He supports us by His right arm. He gives us the strength to go from day to day. And sometimes there's a hill that we have to come up, a bit like Staxon Hill. And we find it difficult. But when we're at the top, when we have that meeting with Jesus, when He comes close to us and we have that relationship, we're able to go back, get down into the valley again on the other side of the hill. And we're able to live through those problems that come up against us. And we have a great big family, you know. A great big family. And it's a family of the Lord. And it's a church. And we encourage one another. We serve one another. We love one another as Jesus loved us and laid down His life for us. I want to know this morning if there's anyone, just where you are, just to raise your hand if you never actually asked Jesus into your life. Just put your hand up where you are right now. Put your hand up if you want to change that this morning. That in rather going out the same way you came in, you want to go out as a new creation.
Or there may be those this morning that are sitting here and they haven't realized what their true identity is. They've been encaged or enclosed into a box. That you're doing, that you're the person that people say you are rather than what Christ says you are. If you're that person this morning, maybe you want to raise your hand and don't let the fear of the enemy come to you right now. Step out with that boldness. Jesus has come to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, that you've shown us by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Father, there is nothing, Lord, that we're able to step out of the things of the enemy, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have got the victory for us. We thank you this morning that we are victorious, that we have got a new life that you have given each of us, Lord. And we thank you that you draw people close to us and where we can share our testimony and that we can tell of the testimony of Jesus Christ and what he has done for that person. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that our identity is not in our name or where we live, but our identity is in a Father who has created us, who has knitted us together whilst we're even in the darkest of places, whilst we're in our mother's womb. You have written a plan for our lives and our purpose for our lives. And Father, help us to step into that today, Lord. Help us to go forward in that today, Lord. Help us to continue in that today, Lord. As we read about Philip, how he served you, how he served you for that 25 years in that one place. Lord, we thank you for Scarborough Town today, Lord. We thank you for every person, Lord, that you have created in this place, in the place of Yorkshire, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we will see people coming into the kingdom, Lord. We'll see people being set free. We'll see people breaking, Lord, that spirit of intimidation, Lord. So they will no longer be walking in the darkness, but they'll be walking in the light. And we thank you, Lord, that we are the people of your light. Allow the light so shine before men that they will question, what is this light? Father, we thank you today. In Jesus' name. Father, I just ask your blessing to be upon every person this morning as we leave here. Father, by your strength, Lord, that you say the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let us go out in your joy this morning as we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. Just like to encourage you this morning, you know, don't go away. If God has touched you in any way this morning and you want to talk further about it, we do have a pastoral team. If you want to talk to anybody that you came with, then feel free to talk to them. But if you've got any questions at all, don't go away with burning questions in your heart. But thank you all very much and be blessed. Have a great day. Enjoy your coffee. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.